College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, JP. How are you doing, brother?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I know the wrestling world got a bit of a shakeup. We were talking about, you know, billions of dollars of Netflix, and then, you know, a few days later, the Vince news hit. So, man, what a crazy world wrestling is.
It's more than crazy. This may lead to criminal suits.
You think?
Two guys holding a woman down, forcibly having sex with her?
Seems like they would be justified, right, for a criminal suit on that. I mean, crazy stuff. Of course, allegedly, though. I mean, if it's all true, because...
In this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. And that's the truth.
I just say that because a friend of mine is a lawyer. He always says allegedly, you know.
You can't
say whether. But according to her, all of it did happen, and obviously that's why there is this big lawsuit coming out. And you're right; it could be eventually criminal charges for Vince.
And the other one too.
And Johnny Ace, yeah, yep. And then Brock Lesnar was brought into it as well. I don't think he'd be in any sort of trouble because she admitted never even of meeting him, just talking to texting him. If that was even really him, who knows? Could be Vince on a burner, you know what I mean? Or somebody else.
To me, that one is too kind of flimsy. Too many holes in that one.
That was weird, yeah.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like, is that even true? Like that to me, I know maybe I'm wrong, but that just seemed far-fetched.
That one to me, I believe, you know, we were using the word allegedly, but that one just seemed way, you're ahead of a company and you're going to sign a guy and it depends about a woman having sex with him. Nah.
That is definitely a little far-fetched for sure. And yeah. even if like Vince said that I just still have a hard time believing it because, oh, and by the way, I never met the guy. So it's like, wait a second, you never met him? Oh, but I was supposed to meet. It's like, if you're a good lawyer, you get that Swiss cheese. You know what I mean? You put holes in that, but that prevented Lesnar from being in the Rumble and maybe preventing him from being in Mania. Oddly enough is what the rumor is, which is nuts.
I think we may not see Brock for quite a while.
You think that's good or bad, though?
Well, this lawsuit's going to go on for quite a while.
Yeah. But as far as Brock, though, is that because he's not really, I don't know, there's no real hard evidence that he did anything wrong. So I know that's an iffy one to me.
No, there's no hard evidence, but they don't want, it's going to be his call. He's not going to want to be out there.
Right. That too. Yep. Do you think that, like the criminal charges, do you think there's ever a way for Vince to make his way back, or is he done forever?
I have no idea, but to me, it's pointing. Isn't Vince 79 now?
Yeah.
It's pointing to me they're going to have to spend. This trial could go on for over. The pre-trial could be 6 months, and the trial could be 6 months. It could be a year. And the more that comes out, yeah, I think he's not going to get back with TKO.
Even if proven guilty, even if proven innocent, he won't get back.
No, I don't think so.
He'll just be too old at that point?
No, not that he would be too old. I mean, he created a monster. It's good to have him on the board. But the negative stuff that came along with this, they don't want it.
Too many black eyes.
Yeah, I think the house cleaning isn't done yet either there.
Really? What do you think?
Well, I think they're going to come in and clean a bunch of people out of there.
Anybody that you're thinking of off the top of your head, or just generically people will be?
Generically.
When you look at Kevin Dunn and his retirement, do you think that he had any sort of heads up about it? Because it's interesting, like his retirement, then all this news came out. Do you think that he had a little bit of a heads up?
He might have, but he wanted to retire. He didn't want anybody coming in and telling him what to do after he did that for 35 years.
I had heard that some of those TKO guys like Mark Shapiro with those production comments that were like a kind of a dig at him, like, oh, these guys think they're going to keep all their equipment and keep all their guys and do things the old way. No, we're going to do it the TKO way. I heard that definitely rubbed him the wrong way, because obviously he's the head of production and he's saying right. These production guys. So.
Right.
So he definitely rubbed him the wrong way as far as that. Cause I know you're saying you're going to cut the guy this and cut that, and the production can be trimmed down. And the guy's been doing production there for 35 years, like you said, and at the highest level.
Yeah.
Now, interesting, like as far as everything is concerned with Janelle Grant and all this stuff that's coming out, do you think that when Vince came out with what he said, how it was obscene and he's going to fight this, do you believe him at all with what he's saying? Or do you think that's what he has to say to save some face?
I mean, we don't know yet what really happened. You know what I mean? Like you said, allegedly.
Right.
So you're going to start making a case for yourself. It's going to trial, that's for sure.
I wonder, what his defense would be. If those are real text messages, which I'm sure they have to be, right? I mean, I just wonder what his case would be. Because this is pretty damning.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what his case would be.
So interesting that basically he had retired just randomly with a tweet. He retired, then he comes back, sells the company to TKO. Then they have the huge Netflix deal. Then this comes out. It's just like, whew, what a roller coaster ride with this guy the last few years, at the helm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then even when he brought back and he was put into power because of the way the structure was before he sold TKO, he was able to bring in his own people, was able to come back at the head of the power. But remember people that voted against him coming back to the board, Triple H, Stephanie at the time, and Nick Khan. Do you think that meant anything? Do you think that maybe they knew more than everybody else, or that's just them looking out for WWE?
I think that was them looking out for WWE. But something was going on, there was some heat there somewhere.
Yeah, because obviously Stephanie's gone, and then a bunch of Triple H's like guys got fired for a while. Remember, they were all gone, yeah. And then he kind of slowly but surely brought them all back.
Yeah,
and that was brought up to Triple H at the press conference. I don't know if you saw the press conference. They asked him about it, and he said he didn't read the lawsuit and all this other stuff. I don't know what people wanted his answer to be, but what did you think about Triple H at the press conference?
I thought he handled it the best he could. He doesn't know. What's he going to say? Yeah, I believe Vince. No, I don't. It's all allegedly. Until they go to court.
I mean,
I think he did a pretty cool, smooth job. I know he got a lot of heat over, but it was all alleged.
And if people were upset, like, oh, he didn't read it. Like, should he have read it? Did you have to give him a timetable? Like, I don't know. I felt like people were maybe unjustly a little hard on Triple H. I didn't necessarily think he had a, that bad of an answer. People were like, oh, he had a terrible answer. Well, you, what do you want him to say? No comment? He, at least he said,
he's getting ready for the Royal Rumble. He doesn't want to be just get distracted.
Yeah. That's definitely plausible and possible. I know Cody Rhodes had a, you know, he didn't really answer it, but I guess he had a better answer than the answer that people wanted, because he said, oh, these are some dark days. And I guess Triple H said he wanted to focus on the positive. So people got upset at that. But I don't know. I was just thinking to myself, like, what is he supposed to say? What do you want him to say? It's like a, I don't know, he's putting a tough spot out there. Maybe don't even do the press conference, maybe.
No, I think he had the balls to do it. I think he did a hell of a job myself. Okay, what's he supposed to say? Him and Vince have obviously had heat for a while, right?
Seems like it, yeah.
What's he supposed to say? Got the guy's a lunatic?
Right, still the grandfather of his kids, yeah.
Yeah.
He can't really say that, yeah.
People jump, you know, we've talked about this. People don't understand. It's still a business. Money flows back and forth.
Yep.
You know, The Rock got 30 million to be on the board.
Yep.
You don't think we're going to see him at a pay-per-view?
Oh, he'll be there.
He'll be wrestling, too.
WrestleMania, you think?
They're not going to give you... As busy as he is, and I admire him greatly, you think they gave him $30 million to... They knew when they got rid of that somebody had to replace Vince. They gave it to him. But they're going to have to really dig themselves out of a hole, because this is going to go to trial before WrestleMania. And they want to have the biggest WrestleMania of all times with the TKO company. And do you get there, as much as I like Cody and Amaya Cody, you get there with The Rock, with the rest of the guys around them.
What do you do with Cody then?
Have him main event the first night, main event the second night.
Against who?
There's so many guys he could work with. I mean, what are you going to have him do? Come back and wrestle Roman and beat Roman? And then what do you have for the second night? They could do something the first night to carry over to the second night. But I'm telling you, if he doesn't wrestle him at this WrestleMania, we'll never see Roman in Rock.
Damn, it definitely seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like it was definitely a lock for The Rock. And then all of a sudden, Cody wins the Royal Rumble and kind of changed everything, because he points at Roman Reigns. He says he's got to finish the story. He's finished the story, you know, the finishing of the story is really him beating Roman finally. It just, I don't know, interesting though, because if you have The Rock, you can't not use The Rock.
Right. Maybe use The Rock to interfere in the match.
Yes, I don't know. It's crazy. Maybe Rock, and then they fight next year? Rock and Roman? Like after Rock helps Cody?
No.
Can't?
It will be past his... Rock ain't going to go out there at 53. With all the things that got going.
He ain't getting any younger. Not getting any younger.
No, every year that passes.
When you look at Mania right now, obviously Brock Lesnar is off of it. You have CM Punk now hurt. The Rock, who knows if he does it or not, hopefully he does. Do you think if there's no Rock, no Brock, and no CM Punk, does that hurt Mania big time?
The Punk thing hurt Mania.
Killed it, yeah.
You know.
Very unfortunate for Punker.
Yeah.
So just looking at Vince and as we're talking all about all things Vince McMahon here, and we're talking about basically the retirement, the return. We're talking about Janelle Grant a little bit and the resignation, but just to rewind, go kind of all the way back. When did you actually first meet him? The WWF days when you were there with Vince Sr.? Is that when you first met him?
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think?
He was a commentator. He was very nice. At the time, didn't have any power. So, different.
Did you like him?
Yes. Liked him a lot.
What did you think about him compared to like Vince Sr.? Because everyone says they're like polar opposites, but what did you think about them?
Well, they're polar opposites. Vince Sr. was the best guy I ever worked for.
Wow, high praise.
Yeah.
Why best?
He had a big heart. Like, I would go and look at my bookings, and that one was when the territory split. Some guys lived in the New Jersey area, some guys lived in the Boston area. If I was on a spot show in the New Jersey area, I would go to Vince and say, "Hey, Vince, there's a town running 20 miles from my house. Either that, I got to drive 280 miles. He said, "I'll just flip it. It's going to be the same." So he changed the card. He's a great guy.
As far as Vince Jr., relationship with him, or no, he's just a commentator, there's no like relationship with him?
No, there was, you know, just hello and goodbye.
When he's there, obviously he's just a commentator, is there ever talk amongst the boys like, oh, he's gonna take over one day, or no?
No. Nobody really looked that far ahead. No one saw the end of the territories. No one saw the end of the senior. You know what I mean? They're just the two people doing their jobs.
When Vince does take over, 1982, basically buys from his dad. I don't know if you know the particulars of the deal or not, but supposedly it's basically a $1 million deal, but he doesn't have all the money up front. He's got to make payments, and then he's got to buy out, you know, Gorilla Monsoon and some of the Phil Zacco and like some of the other guys, he's going to have to buy them out too. Do you know the particulars of the deal of him actually taking over the WWF?
No.
Because he says in an interview, or many interviews, that basically it was like $1 million or so, and he had to pay him back, and that he had to make payments with a certain period of time. So it's like everything was hinging on it, but it does seem like a bit of a sweetheart of a deal if you kind of really look at it.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, he kind of always says, like, oh, I built this myself. Obviously, if you didn't have your dad's awesome territory to kind of build upon, I don't know if it would have became what it became. I mean, not taking anything away from him. I think he was a genius business-wise. But, right, if he didn't have his dad's territory to begin with, you're not getting that big of a head start into greatness.
Right. But nobody else saw what he saw.
Right. That's the thing. Did you ever see, like, at all, like, what he, like, oh, this guy's nuts, what is he doing? Or were you like, oh, man, this guy's smart, I kind of see what he's doing?
Brother, I saw what he was doing when it happened, because the promoters, you know, the NWA maybe were friends, but they would backstab one another. So I knew he had a great idea.
When he is about to kind of take over, when you're looking at basically, you know, the landscape of things, did you think that he was onto something just as far as, oh, he's definitely going to, you know, put a bunch of stuff and a bunch of territories out of business? Did you see that as like nuts at the time, or did you see like, okay, the dominoes are falling here, he's taking over like globally?
Yeah, I didn't see it globally, but I knew he was taking the country over.
When you're looking at, I know you had the Wattses of the world out there, and you had all these, I mean, the Briscoes ended up selling to him at one point, but when you look at what he was doing, did you ever think like, oh, there's no way Fritz is going to be gone, no way Watts is going to be gone, way the Grahams are going to be gone?
Well, I thought a few of them would hang on, it'd be like subsidiary territories, but nope.
When he does take over, and obviously nationally and then globally completely takes over, do you think he's able to do it without Hulk? Because that's the big thing that so many people says, that there's no way that would have happened without Hogan. I know Greg Gagne has said it, you know, a bunch of the guys who were his competition have said, without Hogan, I don't know if that's possible.
Well, we'll never know, but I think they're right. Without Hogan, you know, being with Stallone was a big rub, brother.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, Vince Sr. didn't want him to do it, but obviously Vince Jr. loved Hogan, and obviously the AWA in Japan knew Hogan was Ichiban number one.
Right.
Now, do you think, and this is like a kind of a point of contention with Vince and Hulk, Hulk kind of thought, hey, I made the business. Vince is like, I made you kind of thing. Who made who in that situation, or did nobody make nobody? They kind of just made each other.
I think they made each other.
That's always an interesting debate between them. Obviously, they kind of always had that love-hate battle between them, because I think Vince can't say, hey, I created this guy. You know what I mean? Like, he did, but he didn't. Like, Hulk also kind of created Vince in certain aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. They were partnerships.
When Vince is taking over the globe, did you ever get offered, like, kind of come back and work there, or did you want to go back and work there?
There was one time early on where there was a little bit of talk, but I never thought at that time, when it was before WrestleMania, that I could leave Florida because of what Eddie did for me. But it wouldn't have worked out anyway. But, no, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other people. And I'm pretty sure once you turned it down, that was it.
It is crazy. If you look at 1984 WWF, like you're saying, before WrestleMania, man, they were bringing in so many different guys. Like, the Freebirds were coming in, and, you know, Mr. Wrestling number two. I mean, they were just randomly bringing in, like, a lot of guys trying to almost kind of get a feel of what they wanted for where they were going for the WrestleMania era.
Right.
What about when Dusty came in 89? Were you ever going to kind of follow him and head to WWF at that time?
No. Oh.
So when Vince McMahon is taken over nationally, it's funny. He's a commentator, quote unquote, a commentator on TV. He's not revealing himself to be the owner. Why is that? Like, what's why not say who you are? Why are you just a commentator?
Kayfabe. It's a different era.
Do you like that or not like that as far as what he was doing?
It was what was practiced at the time.
A lot of people, I feel like, especially me as a young kid, a fan, didn't realize he was the owner until a few years into this thing. But, you know, you just had no clue, because he's like, oh, he's just a, you know, he's like the B-level announcer behind Gorilla Monsoon, basically, at that point.
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
What?
What did you think about him as a commentator?
I thought he was pretty fair. I thought he was a little over the top, but I'm not a commentator.
Didn't call out of the moves either. He would just say, oh, what a maneuver. stuff like that. He would never really call precisely all the holds and the moves.
Yeah.
You have a problem with that or no?
Well, it's a different, we're talking apples and oranges. That was 1980, what, three, four?
Oh, yeah. And then it, well, it's the 80s and early 90s as well, yep.
Yeah, so the whole world's changed. I mean, they were just watching the guys. And do you think many people really understood what the hole was, even though they saw it 1,000 times? They didn't have to hear it was a arm drag. They knew it was an arm drag. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
Because it was a lot of more simple that back then.
And the way he would say it was, I don't know, if he was so passionate about it, you kind of like went in with it. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? You kind of felt, you fell in line with what he was saying just because he was so passionate about it.
It was over the top. But the whole era was over the top. Look at the 80s. Look at the female actresses. They all were built the same, all enhanced the same. Look at the bodybuilders. Look, that was a crazy era. The drugs, the cocaine, you know what I mean? Miami, I saw Miami get built. I drove down there one day, and there was 32 high scrapers being built at the same time. It was a different era. You can't, that's what people don't understand. You can't say, well, this. I mean, do you think anybody ever said you can't use that word back then?
Probably not.
When I came up in Tennessee, they used to have matches where they do an angle. There was Bear Cap Brown. I was horrified. I came from, Boston. They jumped him and painted him white. They did another one tied in feather. No one spoke up about it. So how can you compare that?
Different day, different era. Yep.
Yeah.
It's also one of those things, too. Like, Vince, if you really look at where he came from and where what he became, it's pretty, like, remarkable just as far as, okay, he's not even living with his dad. He's living with, you know, with his mother and various different stepfathers. One of the stepfathers apparently was abusive to the mother and to him, whether that be one way or another. I think you could take that and you know, do with it as you will. But he was abusive towards Vince and abusive towards the mother. He basically went to military school. He went, graduated, went to college, but he had dyslexia apparently. So he had some learning issues as well. But it's amazing to think like, okay, this is like a poor guy living with his mother, it's not having a relationship with his father. And then he became what he became. Pretty remarkable if you just look at that. As far as like an American dream kind of story.
Yeah, American dream. If it ended right, it would have been the greatest American dream of one of them of all times.
Became a bit of an American nightmare because as he is taking over, and you know, he's pretty young at this point in his life, and when he's doing WWF, I mean, we're talking 40 years ago, so he's in his late 30s, becoming maybe early 40s eventually through all this, but starts coming with different kind of allegations and read a chatter on the referee. There's different announcers that are saying all these sexual allegations. You got the Terry Garvin stuff, the Pat Patterson stuff. So little by little, a lot of controversy is kind of surrounding the company and WWF. What did you think about all that? Because obviously Garvin gets fired. Pat Patterson was suspended for a little bit. I mean, there was a lot of different scandals. Mel Phillips, I mean, there was a lot of different crazy scandals going on early in his run.
Well, there was no Twitter. There was no social media. It was kept basically, unless you were a huge wrestling fan, nobody knew who those people were. Right? You think the Irish person? So.
Right. Like he would end up on like Donahue and different shows, kind of trying to defend himself, his honor, and the WWF. He would kind of, you know, get some mainstream attention for all this stuff. And obviously the steroid trial as well, but it wasn't something like nowadays where literally you type Vince McMahon and there's a million articles on him and all this, all these allegations and stuff.
Right. Right.
It's Were you aware when what? These controversies are going on at the time, the Mel Phillips, the, you know, the Terry Garvin, all this stuff, were you guys aware in the business of this stuff, or even it's on your periphery at this point?
Yeah, of course, we know about it.
Did you think, like, oh, man, this guy's got a crazy ship going on over there? Like, he's got, you know, tighten this up, or nobody even thinks about stuff like that back then?
Nobody thought about things like that back then. You know?
Yep. And they're raking in money hand over fist. So if there is problems, it seems like, allegedly, he could make them go away. You know, that there's that Jimmy Snuka story where he maybe have killed a woman, and supposedly the police may have been paid off. Don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if I believe that or not, but that's the story that's out there. It was even in a documentary on TV. So, I mean, there's a lot of crazy shit that was going on at that period.
Yeah, yeah. So it was the Wild West. It's a whole different, you know, a whole different ballgame, whole different business.
And at this point, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, he is drinking and traveling with the boys too, because the Legion of Doom have that great story, Hawk and Animal, where they're like, they put him up in the Doomsday device at a strip club, and, you know, Brett and Anvil are wrestling him and stuff. So, I mean, it was a much different Vince back then too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, as far as it's like Vince and what's going on here. So he's a commentator on TV. He's really the owner behind the scenes. He's doing a lot of voiceover work. He's doing a lot of work. Do you think that when he starts to become like a real character, when the real Mr. McMahon comes out, when like the Monday Night War start and the Montreal Screwjob happens and all that stuff, do you think that that is more true to life, the Vince McMahon character?
It seems that way. It certainly seems that way. Or it's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Mr. Hyde took over Dr. Jekyll. Could be that Mr. McMahon took over Vince McMahon. Who knows?
Talking to some older wrestlers from that era that obviously worked with Vince, they were saying to me that basically he thought he was the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Like that character was like an alter ego of Vince. Kind of, I could just buy and sell anybody I want kind of thing. They said he also thought, because he was like a gym rat, he thought he was kind of like the Ultimate Warrior, even like physique kind of wise, even though he really wasn't. But they're saying mentally, he thought he was these guys. He thought he was a little bit of Hogan, being that like true blue, real American hero. And they said they thought he was like the Patriot Lex Luger when he was doing that gimmick. So it's interesting what the boys think of Vince and like what's going on in his head. Like, he's taking a piece of himself and putting it into some of those characters. You agree with that?
Well, I wasn't around then, but I can see the validity of that statement. Yeah.
When Vince creates that Vince McMahon character, do you think at all that it's a copy off of what you guys did with Eric Bischoff and NWO? Because it's different, but it is eerily similar.
It's similar, but Vince was the greatest heel of all times.
Oh, but no doubt. Yep.
To be that kind of heel, you got to have something inside you. So,
to me, I mean, Bischoff did a great job with it, but it was funny. It's like the heel, you know, boss, then Vince becomes the heel boss. Obviously, his was because of the Montreal Screwjob, and he's cutting a promo thinking that he sounds like a babyface, and everyone goes, Vince, you just sounded like the biggest dick. He's like, what? Brett screwed Brett. It's true. But it sounds awful, and then it just kind of snowballed from there with the Mr. McMahon character.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off.
And they had Jim Ross and him sitting across from one another. That was brilliant.
Yes. And JR was just being honest. Like, what? Brett screwed Brett? Like, what are you talking about? Vince, you screwed him.
Yeah.
And then he basically said, I got to do whatever I can do to save my company. And obviously, he then kind of embellishes the character even more forward with Stone Cold Steve Austin and things like that. But man, when that Montreal Screwjob thing happened, he really was one of the biggest villains in the business just right then and there, because everyone's like, well, he screwed one of the boys. He screwed one of his own wrestlers.
Do you think he screwed Brett?
Well, on the surface, yes, but
wait,
if Brett...
Wait a minute. Oh,
yes.
You can't lose an entire country?
Right. And he's got to do what the boss says, right? Even though he did have creative control, so he does have, a point or a stake in what happens,
wait,
but...
Wait a minute, he has creative control.
Yes.
But do you think that, and I'm not knocking Brett for this, but how that means every time you go into Canada, you can't lose. How is the belt going to get back to them?
And you got to do what the boss wants, right? He said he wants you to lose to Shawn Michaels.
Brett, that was his last match and was going to WCW. So he would have been the WWF champion over there.
Unless he wrestled the following night on Raw, I guess he could have, but. And apparently he gave them, and he said he wanted to lose before that, and he gave them a list of wrestlers he would lose to, Steve Austin, Ken Shamrock. He, for some reason, just didn't want to lose to Michaels. Well, I mean, that's documented, but, and he didn't want to lose in Canada. But you're saying, if the boss says, hey, you got to lose to Shawn Michaels, and by the way, it's in Canada, you got to lose to Shawn Michaels in Canada. That's what you're saying.
Well, I'm also going to say this. They should have got the belt off him long before the last days. It wasn't. So they knew he was leaving. They should have got off long. Beat him in New York City or someplace.
That is a big misstep by Vince. Why was he the champion if he's leaving, right? I mean, that doesn't make... But you're okay with the screw job. See, I'm against what he did, but you're okay with him screwing over Brett.
Is it real? Did Brett actually really win that belt?
No.
Did he hit 50 home runs? Did he throw 51 touchdown passes? No. I think even though this wrestling is such a strange thing, we all know it's fake, yet we're talking about wins and losses like they're real.
Right.
All of us.
Right.
You know, even the boys in the business today. And they're right. It does mean something. But you can't let your brain flip to think that you're really the champion. I don't want to slight CM Punk because I think he's amazing. Go into the Octagon and see what happens.
Right. Like Hogan says, he treats it like a shoot, but it's a work. It's a work.
Yeah.
Now, with Vince, obviously, wrestling boom, Hogan era, 1980s, early 90s, wrestling is huge, bigger than it's ever been. It becomes mainstream thanks to WWF, thanks to Vince. It's funny, when people even say wrestling to this day, they only think of WWF, which is why AEW and other companies are always going to be behind the eight ball, because it's just associated with wrestling thanks to Vince and obviously thanks to Hulk Hogan. But when the wrestling starts to decline, the NWO comes back, saves wrestling. Then we get the heel Vince. Then we get the Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon feud. Then we really get the Attitude Era. And that kicks it into another gear, another wrestling boom. So Vince is on the cusp of it, obviously, twice with two big booms. What do you think of just the Attitude Era in general and just what it was able to do for business? Obviously, Stone Cold and him and The Rock at the top three dogs.
Yeah, and look what, you know, they're still the t-shirt's still the top sellers.
Yep.
So I think that's enough said. It opened more eyes on wrestling.
Do you like Vince actually wrestling? Because he had the feud with Steve Austin. He wrestles. He's in the corporation. He wins the 1999 Royal Rumble. Do you like him wrestling?
He's not the greatest wrestler of all time.
No.
Yeah. You have to build up to that. You got to play that role. That's the way they were going, and they drew a lot of money with it. So
crazy. When he says he's wrestling Austin on that Raw on April 13th, 1998, that's the first time in 83 weeks that they actually, which was actually more than 83 weeks, but that he actually beat you guys, and it's because he's wrestling. So, no, not that he's terrible, but you know, not very athletic. He's not that good of a worker, but he's the most over heel, most over guy besides Steve Austin. So, him wrestling had major, major interest.
Right, right.
And the storyline with him winning the Royal Rumble was funny because then it leads to a match with Steve Austin. And it kind of makes a twist and turn to into WrestleMania 15 instead of that straight line.
Yeah. I mean, and I like that kind of booking. So
there is obviously the corporation. He was the head of that faction. Then there's the McMahon-Helmsley era with Triple H and Stephanie and that feud. So, like, through the years, he's feuding with a lot of the top guys, not just Steve Austin. Other guys included The Rock, Undertaker, Triple H, even Stephanie. Do you like him continuing to wrestle all the other guys? Zach Gowen, no. Even? I mean, or no?
No. No. A couple of them would have been enough, I think.
Think it takes away from the wrestlers?
No, I think it takes away that it starts to repeat itself.
It's funny, like, they'd be down in ratings or something, and then he would come back and wrestle, and you would think it wouldn't pop a rating, but it usually popped a rating or it popped some interest. So I see the business sense behind it, but it might have been too much of him wrestling. Like, he feuded with almost Ric Flair at one point, Hulk Hogan at one point. He feuded with everybody.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels at one point.
He did what he thought was best for this company, so I guess he did the right thing.
Feuded with Shane McMahon at one point as well, a part of the WCW angle.
Yeah, with his own family, yeah. So it was good.
What did you think when he bought WCW? Obviously, you're home at this point, but you were still getting paid. Were you shocked when Vince buys WCW?
Yeah.
What was your reaction?
Just shock.
Were you going to work for him at that point ever, or any talk with him after that?
I had one brief moment where we had a meeting, and but I just put in over $1 million building my gym, and I couldn't leave. I was going to go up and sit in on their creative meetings and stay a couple of days. Then it turned out to be a full-time job, and I couldn't go at that time because I had built a gym.
Did Vince offer you that deal personally, or was that like a Johnny Ace thing?
Johnny Ace and Stephanie.
So no talk with Vince?
No, no.
Also,
I had talked to Vince after that on different things.
Oh, when? Like, what was it about?
Sending a guy there, a couple of guys.
Did they ever turn out to be anything?
No.
Was he receptive?
Yes, he was.
Professional?
Very professional.
Now, obviously, WWE, if you will, huge success. That is something that you can't take that away from. Turned $1 million into a $9 billion business, probably more than $9 billion now because of the stock and because of the Netflix deal. It's probably worth even more. But when you look at that and you're just looking at what he created, there's also some stinkers along the way, also some failures. What do you think about the XFL?
That's like going against the NFL. No other football league is going to make it.
Too much of a juggernaut. Crazy idea, though, by Vince? Or do you think that there was something there? Because obviously there's still the UFL today, which is a combination of the XFL and the United States Football League.
That was crazy. It's crazy.
WBF, World Bodybuilding Federation. Crazy idea?
You don't think it was crazy?
Terrible. I hated it then. I hate it now. I just think, I don't know.
Where has bodybuilding gone since that was created? Nowhere.
I know you love bodybuilding, though, right?
Well, I liked it when I was younger, but I always didn't want to watch guys working out on TV and doing stupid skits. No, there's no interest in it to me.
It is funny, like some of the stuff, like the hockey team. Remember, he had the hockey team. That was kind of pre-WBF, but he had the hockey team that didn't do so well. He bought that app Tout. Didn't amount to anything. I mean, so there's been some stinkers along the way. No doubt about it.
Yeah, but you can't win if you don't play in the game. So.
Do you think that you take the good with the bad, obviously, but the steroid trial, do you think that was a huge black eye for him? Because it just seemed like, okay, we're talking about some of the negatives, some of the bad things that failed, but do you think the steroid trial ended up being like a huge black eye for him? Because it did hurt the business for a few years.
I don't think it hurt anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It changed the business for the betterment, but you think people really gave a shit that wrestlers were on steroids, that you couldn't tell that was a natural body? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And think about this. You know how much money the federal government spent to put Vince away? And he won. They yep. never forget, brother.
Yep. They've been wanting to get him for a while. Yep.
They always keep their eye on you.
When you look at Vince, too, it's like, okay, we mentioned some of the negative stuff, but obviously WWE is huge. The WWE Network eventually would be, you know, the streaming service for them, and then now it's on Peacock, which is worth a couple $1 billion. I mean, that was ingenious idea. He was kind of into the streaming stuff really as it was not even hitting its stride yet. I mean, this was early on he wanted to do the streaming stuff. So very much ahead of the ball there, way ahead of the ball on pay-per-view, kind of almost invented the business of pay-per-view, really. He did closed circuit before, which was popular, but he took that and made it into pay-per-view. And really, WWF is kind of the forefront of pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. He's a genius. Take nothing away from him, but, you know, he has a different side maybe too. So.
Yep. The dark side for sure. There's WrestleMania, there's NBC, that deal. There's all, you know, all of his charity work. Basically, if you look at Make-A-Wish, WWF and Hulk Hogan kind of made Make-A-Wish if you really look at it. So there's a lot of positive. I know people don't want to talk about that and don't want to focus on that, but there's a lot of positive. It's a ton of charity. When his military school, he gave them like millions of dollars to kind of give back because he, you know, remembering where he came from, just. A lot of charitable endeavors through their Special Olympics, huge tie-in with the Special Olympics and St. Jude and all that other stuff, Susan G. Komen. So he's definitely been a very charitable person through the years, if you want to look at the good side, as we're also mentioning some of the bad stuff.
Right, right. They've been great. It's a branding thing, and they were great at it.
Now, everyone says WWF is the greatest of all time, WWE, if you will, the greatest. But there's been so many stinkers. Do you remember when he faked his own death, like creatively, some of the stink bombs that he had? Do you remember that, where he got into the limo and the limo blew up?
Yeah.
I guess Trump called. They thought he thought he was really dead. Like, people were really thinking that he was dead. Like, when you're watching that, obviously a former booker, do you think like, okay, some ideas are just not going to be good and that's you got to weed those out?
That was horrible.
The fake death, that was bad. He had a kid. Remember, he had a kid, and it turned out to be Hornswoggle. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Are these any of your ideas that you snuck in? Because I know a lot of guys, you had some crazy ideas through the years.
Oh, I had crazy ideas for years. But there was a meaning to it. Like the Dungeon of Doom, it was to get Hogan to turn heel. You if you do it long enough, you're going to paint off the easel once in a while. But if you make the same mistake over and over again, you're not learning anything. Hey, the greatest hitters of all time struck out too.
Yeah. It's true. Bonds didn't hit 1,000. That's true.
Yeah.
Although one year he had a 600 on base percentage, which is still insane. But when you look at Vince, okay, there's some misses. Like I'm saying, like the fake death. Remember they had the Raw general manager, like, and it was like an anonymous general manager. That was terrible. Yeah. The Hornswoggle thing was his son. Is that just literally just for a quick ratings boost or like booking wise?
No, for his shits and giggles.
Really? You think so?
Absolutely.
Even though you're spending all that millions on TV, you're just doing stupid stuff?
Yeah. Isn't the kiss my ass a stupid thing?
Oh, awful. I was going to mention that too. Yeah, Kiss My Ass Club is terrible.
So?
And I hope that's not something, you know, that he was doing in his real life or something and brought on TV because, Jesus, I mean, what a horrible, stupid angle. Jeez, this is terrible. And they thought it was funny, I think. I think they thought it was comedy. It's just terrible.
I thought it was horrible.
People obviously are going to pick on a lot of this stuff. They're going to go back and watch a lot of this stuff because Mr. McMahon, the character, was totally outlandish and doing some crazy, crazy stuff. Can you use that against him? Some of the stuff he did as a character? There's no way you can use that against him.
No.
So eventually, as far as TV, he like kind of comes back a bunch of times. He did the Authority gimmick, which is kind of the old corporation gimmick, this time with Triple H and Stephanie, kind of more in the Mr. McMahon role. So like he's slowly but surely keeping himself on TV through the years. Do you think that there was a point in time where you're like, all right, enough of Vince on TV. He doesn't really need to be on television anymore?
Yeah, I think so. And you could have popped the rating when he did come back. You know what I mean?
Yep.
A one-off.
And the last time he was ever on TV, he literally said, he's like, oh, you know, I'm going to fight these allegations, all sorts of stuff. He's like, then, now, together, forever, basically. He said the WWE catchphrase. And then he did that weird, I don't know if you ever saw that, remember, he did that weird, like, jump. Where he's, like, jumping from the steps off, like, really nutty stuff. Like he had serious allegations. It's almost like he was like joking around about it.
No, I don't remember that.
Very, very strange stuff. And of course, even before that, WrestleMania 38, he did wrestle. He beat Pat McAfee in a match, and then he took one of the worst Stone Cold Stunners of all time, right. Which was great and entertaining for good time's sake. But did you like that at least? It's just like a one-time thing, the end of Vince on TV and
takes a stunner? Yeah.
Made sense.
Well, you got Steve Austin out there. You know, gave the people something they wanted to see.
The retirement, the return, the sale to TKO, then the Janelle Grant stuff, and then the resignation from Vince, and then he says he's going to fight it. All this, and then combined with all the stuff he's done in his career, his run in the WWF, what he's done for the wrestling business, how many jobs he's created. What's his legacy? What is the legacy of Vince McMahon?
We won't know until this court case is over.
What about wrestling-wise? What do you say about him? Just what he was able to do in the business?
Oh, he transformed the business completely. transformed it completely.
He's a mad genius.
Yep.
Now, as far as Vince McMahon, like you said, we're going to have to, I'm sure there's going to be many more conversations about Vince to come, and we'll see what else comes out. We'll see how he defends himself. We'll kind of find out more, but this seems far from over, like you were saying, right? Just seems far from over.
This is going on for a year and a half, so strap yourself in.
When you look at the landscape of the WWE and of wrestling, they're left in some pretty good hands right now because they're making more money than ever, and he's kind of been sitting on the sidelines for a while. It seems like they're in good hands, right, as far as WWE in the future?
Oh, yeah. They're going to do great with Hunter.
Triple H, Nick Khan, and TKO, you know, taking them to new financial heights, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Just want to add one little thing, nothing to do with Vince, but I was just watching and somebody posted it on Instagram. I think it was Larry posted it, actually. Your old buddy and my old buddy, Larry. You on Family Feud. I don't remember that.
Yeah. I was on twice.
Oh, twice. Wow.
Yeah.
You were really fast with those answers. I don't know if I could even think that quickly. You were really fast.
Well, I just kind of two basic questions.
Do you remember that fondly, those Family Feud
memories? Yeah, it makes me laugh when I think of it.
Yeah, I was great. Like, oh, my God. First of all, you look so much younger, obviously. I mean, we were talking about 30, 40 years ago, but so much younger. But I was like, wow, look at that quick wit. Damn. Was Sid the worst possible partner you can ever have for Family Feud?
Yes. Yes.
I was going to say, he doesn't seem like somebody you'd want on the team, but hey, you know, good for Sid.
Yeah.
All right. As we wrap this bad boy up and head towards the finish here, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kevin, what do you got going on?
Well, I just came back from New York. I'm tired as hell. Went up one day, came back the next. I'm in Rhode Island, middle of February. A lot of things going on. So, okay, my friend.
All right. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.